Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Welcome to Miracle Sunday. I'm Miles McPherson, Pastor Rock. If you are a visitor, welcome today. We are ending our 21-day fast. Amen. Let's go. Come on, Shirley. Y'all are like, give me some food. We decided to end the fast with Miracle Sunday, that we fasted 21 days, and I'm sure God spoke to all of you, but let's cap it off by praying for God to do some miracle healings today. And so we're going to have a different kind of service. I'll explain here in a minute, but I just want to pray for you, and I pray that you have expectation that God's going to do something. Anxiety, by definition, is an expectation of something bad. Anxiety is an expectation something bad is going to happen. That's where you worry, you know, you have anxiety and depression, whatever. Hope is the expectation of something good. All week I've had a lot of hope and expectation that God is going to do something amazing. We had a lady in our first service get out of a wheelchair, which was one of my prayers. Amen. Come on, somebody. And so my prayer is that you have expectation God's going to do something in your life. I was preaching on healing, a couple of years ago, and a buddy of mine was watching online, and he was like, healing don't happen. Really, it's not. And then he got healed. And God said, I just need to shut you up, okay? So if you have an attitude, I wouldn't bank that God's going to, you know, go out of his way to heal you. So I just want to pray, encourage you to say, no, God, I want to help my unbelief. I believe a little bit, but help me believe more to receive something in your life. Amen? Let's lift your hands up. Let's lift our hands up. This is a posture of surrender. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, we have people in here with some very impossible illnesses and situations, and we just pray in Jesus' name that all of it be gone, in Jesus' name. We take authority over every illness, every disease, every syndrome, genetic syndrome, fear, anxiety, joblessness, whatever situation people are dealing with. We pray broken relationships, pain, unforgiveness. We cast it out in Jesus' name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a high five. Amen, 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 amen. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I want you to say hello to my friend Slim. Say, what's up, Slim? Okay, this is a spine. And inside the spine is your spinal cord. Your spinal cord is a cord, a wire, if you will, a genetic wire that goes from your brain all the way down to the lower back. And what comes out of the side, all the nerves that go to the rest of your body. So this is how your body communicates with your brain, and your brain communicates with your body. When this spine gets out of alignment, you have disruptions in the communication between your brain and your body. You have pinched nerves, you have pain, you might have swelling, you may have numbness, you may have paralysis. And so what the chiropractor does is they crack your back, and they call it cracking your back, but really what they're doing is realigning your spine the way it was designed to work. A miracle is kingdom alignment in your life. A miracle, by definition, is supernatural acceleration of kingdom alignment. When something's out of alignment in your life or a relationship, physically, emotionally, and doctors are trying to heal you, great, chiropractors are trying to heal you, God says, let me speed this up and just do it right now. That's a miracle, okay? Jesus came with miracles, signs, and wonders. A miracle is what happened. A sign is what the alignment means. It's a message, the message of the miracle. Alignment is a sign is the kingdom alignment message, and then a wonder is your response. A wonder is like, oh, snap, that's your wonder, okay? So God does something, a sign is what it means, and then your wonder is your response. Let me read John chapter 20. This tells us the reason God does this. One, he loves you and he has compassion, but here's one of the reasons. John 20, verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So today we are going to pray for kingdom alignment, healing in three areas of your life. Everyone say kingdom alignment. I want you to learn that term so when you leave here, you can just pray for kingdom alignment. If you just, if God establishes kingdom alignment in any area of your life, it's going to be better than whatever you had before. We're going to talk about kingdom alignment in relationships. We're going to talk about kingdom alignment in your body and your mind. And we're talking about kingdom alignment in your stewardship, how you handle the resources God has given you, not only money, but opportunities, your education, your skills, et cetera. First thing is kingdom alignment in relationship. Everyone say kingdom alignment in relationships. Miracles flow through relationship. Miracles flow through relationship. Miracles come from God to and through us, but they happen in context of relationship. When God healed a little girl, a little woman, he called daughter, your faith has made you well. Miracles happen in relationships. Relationships happens because we trust God, and through that trust, we receive from God. Unforgiveness interrupts intimacy with God and blocks miracles. If there's someone in your life that you have not forgiven, that you have an issue with, and you are bitter towards them, angry towards them, resentful towards them, jealous towards them, whatever it is that's negative, it is blocking your miracle. Why? Because the Bible says in Matthew 6:15, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Oh, snap. So if you're mad at that person, that person, that person, and yet you're praying to your Father, oh, bless me, he goes, hold up. You got to deal with that. So in a minute, we're going to pray for forgiveness in someone in your life. How many of y'all got someone you probably need to forgive in your life? Raise your hand really high, really high. Great. Every service is the same. All of us got somebody, and it's possible that you are that somebody to somebody else. Okay? So I want you to look at this list. The person you're talking about may fit in one of these categories: coach, mother, grandmother, child, spouse, offender, sister, brother, self. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. Spiritual leader, pastor, grandfather, and maybe even God himself. And maybe multiple, but the bottom line is that you got to deal with that. Cain killed his brother Abel because his relationship with God was broken. So we got to fix our relationship with God. We got to fix our relationship with man before the miracles will flow. Forgiveness restores kingdom alignment in your relationship with God. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive men, God won't forgive you. How many of y'all want God to forgive you? Amen, all of us. So we got to deal with this. God hooks it up that way. Forgiveness is releasing someone from their responsibility of healing your pain. It is not approval of what they did. It is not approval of what they did. You're just saying, Lord, I'm not holding them accountable. I'm not going to try to pay them back by talking about them. No, I'm just going to trust God. I'm releasing them. Forgiveness removes Satan's legal right to torment you. Think about this. When you have unforgiveness, you're telling the devil, devil, you can torment me. Torment me with bitterness. Torment me with anger. Torment me with jealousy. And there are people in your life who play that role. Think about it. Who in your life is, yeah. The devil is using their mouth in your life. So we're going to forgive. We're going to give people. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Be angry and do not sin. So you could be angry, just don't trip. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. If you have unforgiveness, what you're telling the devil is, stand right here and just tell me how I should feel towards that person that I don't like. No, you got to say, devil, be gone in Jesus' name if you want a miracle to happen in your life. So here's what we're going to do. In a minute, we're going to pray a prayer of forgiveness, and I'm going to ask you to pray it out loud, but just whisper. Most people here are going to be praying, so no one's going to be listening to you, but just say it so you can say it. You want to declare your forgiveness. Four things you're going to include in this prayer. One, the name of the person. Say their name. You're going to describe the offense and your pain, how it made you feel. You're going to ask God to forgive you for being unforgiving. And then you're going to declare forgiveness of them, and you're going to receive forgiveness. All this is going to be in the prayer, but I want you to be thinking about it, because when we pray it, you're going to fill in the blank. Okay? Are y'all with me? Yes. Let me pray for you, then we're going to pray. Lord, I just pray that people would release. I pray you prepare people's hearts to let this burden go that has been tormenting them for weeks, months, and even years, that you would set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's pray this together out loud. Say, Father God, I stand before you today, choosing to forgive. Say their name. Yeah, don't say choosing to forgive, say their name. Just say their name. Four, say their name. What they did was wrong, and it made me feel blank. Are you guys praying with me? Okay. I acknowledge my pain, my hurt, my disappointment, and I bring it all before you. Please forgive me for the sin of unforgiveness and holding on to my bitterness and hurt. Because you have forgiven me, I choose to forgive them as well. Today I release, say their name, into your hands. I choose peace over resentment and no longer hold them responsible for making it right. You have set me free. Today I choose to set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray that forgiveness has been given. I pray that freedom has been granted. I pray the burden has been lifted. And I pray supernatural unity and reconciliation between you and everyone in this room, and that you would give us the power and the encouragement and the love and the forgiveness to actually pray blessing over that person. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. Let me say this. If you pray to forgive them, it doesn't mean you need to be their friend. It don't mean you need to hang out with them, okay? You can say, look, I'm good with you, but we had I'm good, I'm good. But if you pray that prayer and you feel like a release, you feel freedom, you feel forgiveness that you've received and you've given, I just want you to stand up and give testimony in this room. Stand up to your feet. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. Stand up and declare that you have been free. Come on. God is flowing. The forgiveness is flowing in your life. You have been set free. You can move on. Go about your business. You don't need to argue with them in your head anymore. You are free indeed. Let's worship. Let's worship. Let's worship if you're free. Let's worship with our hands up. Come on, worship with your hands up. When we worship, this is a sign of surrender. It says to God, I am not dangerous. There's nothing here. I have nothing but my heart to give you. It's a sign of surrender. I give up, okay? Because you're free now, you've been set free. You can come and say, Lord, here I go. Let's go. Let's go. You may be seated. You may be seated. Let's go. Number two, kingdom alignment in physical and mental health. All throughout the Bible, Jesus heals people. So we are going to read several of those healings to stir your faith, and then we're going to pray for healing. We are not limiting what we're praying for to what is in the Bible, but we are going to pray for these ailments and then some. God knows what your ailment is because you're going to pray for yours. But we're going to ask the Spirit of God to bring kingdom alignment in all the cells in all of our bodies, amen, and every ailment that we have. So as I read these, I want you to be thinking about what yours is. How many of you have something in your physical body or someone else that you're praying for that needs to be healed? Raise your hand really high, really high, really high, really high. Excellent, excellent. Sorry that you have something going on, but thank you for being there. Honest. At the end of this, in about 6 minutes, I'm going to ask you to see if you can feel it and if God heals you. Okay, we believe that much that we believe God's going to heal you. Okay, so I want you to take notice. And whenever you pray for healing or pray for God to do something, pay attention and see what happens. Don't just pray it like, God, I trust you that much and I'm going to see what's going to happen. Amen? And so we believe that God's going to heal some of y'all here, maybe when you get in your car, and maybe when you're home tomorrow, and pop, you go, dear God, I want some kingdom alignment. And that, something happens. I don't know. Blindness. John 9, verse 6 to 7. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and washed and came back seeing. Everyone say, Jesus, I receive your healing power today. Deaf hearing, Mark chapter 7, verse 32 to 35. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment of speech. Hearing and speech are connected. Immediately his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loose, and he spoke plainly. Everyone say, Jesus, I receive kingdom alignment in my hearing. Mute speech impairment, Matthew 9, 32 and 33. When the demon was cast out, the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. That was the wonder. They marveled. Say, Jesus, I receive kingdom alignment in my speech. Now, obviously, you can speak, but God may bring kingdom alignment to what you speak. Amen? Oh, come on now. Paralysis, mobility restored. Mark 2, 11. Immediately, he rose up, took up his bed, and went out from in the presence of them all. Say, Jesus, I receive kingdom alignment in my mobility. Maybe you can walk, but maybe you got a bad back, bad shoulder, bad elbow, whatever it is. God wants to restore kingdom alignment. So you can move and do what God calls you to do. Chronic disease, long-term illness healed. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 44. Immediately her blood flow was stopped. Say, Jesus, I receive kingdom alignment in cellular health. We have about 27 trillion cells in our body, and each one of them has DNA strand in it that has 3 billion letter sentence. So we pray that God would heal every single one of those letters in that long sentence in your DNA. There's a 3 billion letter code in your DNA, and every part of that code gives your body the instruction to make who you are. It is unbelievable. It is the most advanced computer code on the planet Earth. We pray kingdom alignment in every single one of your DNAs, and any cells that are out of whack, cancer be gone. We pray all disease be gone, every virus be gone, and healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Mental and demonic oppression, mind restored. How many of y'all need to get your mind right? Come on, you get your mind right. Y'all going cray-cray on me. It says, sitting and clothed in his right mind. Mark chapter 5, verse 15, a man was demon-possessed. He was out of his mind. He had supernatural strength. Sitting and clothed in his right mind. The people marveled. Say, Jesus, I receive kingdom alignment in my mental health. We're going to pray that your mind get right. Some of you got ADD. You think you do got ADHD. I got that. And I literally was praying for me. Lord, I want to deal with my mind. Help me slow down. So we're going to pray for ADHD and ADD to just become D. Okay? I don't even know. No, that's the dysfunction part. We don't want that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Okay. Fertility, open. God opens wombs. This is one of my favorite because I pray for open wombs all the time and people have babies. And I'm not going to ask you which one of y'all are trying to have a baby, but it could be for the female or the male. Hannah was going to have a baby. She wasn't able to have a baby. Rebecca, Rachel, Sarah, all these women couldn't have babies, and God opened their wombs when it was the right time. God opened her womb after this prayer. I'm not saying this is your problem, but here's what we want to do. We want to say, God, whatever baby you give me is going to be yours. This baby is not about me. It's about honoring you. Oh, Lord of hosts, if you would indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head. Say, Jesus, I receive kingdom alignment in my fertility. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bring kingdom alignment to shame and guilt. Remove it. You died for our sin. We are healed by your stripes. You are the Lord who heals us. You are the great physician. We pray you would deliver us from addictions, whether it be drug addiction, sex addiction, We pray that you would deliver us from the inability to swallow, the inability to breathe on our own, the inability to hear. We pray you give hearing to the deaf, that you complete genetic health restoration, that you would restore all genetic mutations, that you would give people the ability to speak, ability to have facial expressions, that you restore muscle tone, who has small muscle tone and immature muscle growth. Restore the ability to have a normal growth rate in people, the formation of limbs, the ability to walk. We pray that any dysfunction of any kind in any person, that you would correct it. And when next time they go to the doctor will say, I can't explain the healing that has happened in your life. We, in Jesus' name, we take authority over every demonic oppression, every demonic temptation, every demonic attack on our lives, on our bodies, on our minds, on our relationships. And Satan, be gone in Jesus' name. We take authority because all of our sin and the penalty of all of our sin has been nailed to the cross. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. As you listen to my voice, I want you to pray this out loud. Say, Jesus, I come to you now in trust, not entitlement. I submit my body and my mind to your authority. Where there is sickness, bring kingdom alignment. Where there is pain, bring peace. Where there is weakness, bring strength. I receive your healing. Not because I deserve it, but because you are God and you are good. You are the great physician. You are the Lord who heals. I trust you. I submit to you. I receive your life and your restoration. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, church. Here's my favorite part. Here's my favorite part. If you feel like, I think God healed me, I think God touched me, I feel warmth, I felt a pop, I feel freedom, whatever it is, I can't feel the lump, whatever it is that you feel that God has touched you, we're going to ask you right now in this place is to stand up in your seat and give glory to God. Like, God bless you, God bless you. Stand up in your seat, God bless you, 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 God bless you. We pray the mute would speak, that the deaf would hear, that the blind would see, that the crippled would walk. We, God bless you, God bless you. Keep cheering for them. Keep celebrating. Keep honoring God. Chase the devil out. Chase the demons out. Chase illness out, sickness out, disease out. Be gone in Jesus' name. We declare health over all your bodies. Let's go. Let's all stand and sing and worship. Let's worship the God who heals. Come on, church. Come on, church.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus is my healer. Everything I need, He alone has triumphed over sickness and disease. Fear, where is your power? For the cross is your defeat. Yes, Jesus is my.
You may be seated. You know, the Bible says that you must become like a child to inherit the kingdom of God. And a child believes what you tell them. Hey, we're going to go to Disneyland. They don't start saying, well, you know, what time and how you going to pay for it and how are we going to get there. Da, da, da. They just go, we're going. And they tell everybody, I'm going to Disneyland. Grampy's taking me to Disneyland. Grampy's taking me to Disneyland. Hey, God loves you. Oh, really? God wants to, let's pray for Grammy. Pray for Grammy. We have too much information. We're too smart for our own good sometimes. Like, well, how's that going to happen? How's God going to do that? And God goes, oh, I'll go to somebody else. I'll go to somebody else. You've been set free. God has forgiven you. Amen. Amen. And we can walk on and receive what God has for us. I'm not saying that if you don't get healed the way you want, when you want, there's something wrong with you necessarily. I'm not saying that. However, we want to be able to say, Lord, you said it. I'm asking. I'm going to ask you to forgive me. I'm going to forgive them. That means you're going to forgive me. You say, if I ask in your name, you're going to get it. So I'm just going to take you on your word. That's it. Because I'm not a healer at all. I have zero power other than to open my mouth and words come out. The Holy Spirit. And when you leave here, the Holy Spirit goes with you. And he's going to whisper to you. And he's going to say, do you trust me? So the last one is kingdom alignment and stewardship. Stewardship is ability to manage. We're not talking about, Lord, I'm going to pray to get money. It's the ability to manage resources. Now, one of your resources is money, but your other resources are opportunities, relationships, gifts, talents, experience. Some of you have been through some hard times. How many of y'all been through some hard times before? Maybe raise your hand really high. Let me say this. How many of y'all been through hard times? You said, I can't do this. It's too much. Thank you. And guess what? You did it. You did it. As you know, I've been talking about my grandson. I try not to talk about him too much, but that has put some of us in a I can't take this situation. All of y'all who have been through something like that, that experience of you going through it and being victorious can bless somebody. That's a resource, an invaluable resource. How many of you would love to be content with what you have and not feel like, I gotta have more? Raise your hand. That's stewardship. Lord, I just thank you for what you gave me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read 7 characteristics of a good steward from Matthew 25 and pray that you pray, Lord, I want that. I want kingdom alignment in my ability to be a steward over what you have, and I want to have the right attitude. I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to be wasteful. I want to manage what you have and be okay with it. I don't need 5 houses. I don't need, you know, 3 wives. You just, bro, handle one. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. So 7 things. I want you to pray this, then we're going to pray for you. And by the way, you're going to see this in a minute. The better stewards you are, the more God's going to entrust you with. Love. God wants to bless you. Number one, a good steward knows God loves you. Matthew 25:14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, calls his servants, which is us, and delivers his goods to them. God has given you things that were his because he loves you. God has given us this because he loves us. 25 years ago, I was told about this building being for sale. And had been closed up. It was this thing was built like 70 years ago. Make a long story short, I used to sit on the roof. I used to go up on the roof when this building was shut down, and I was praying that God would let us be here. And I would take a little twig from the roof, and I said, God, this is nothing but a little twig in your kingdom. Can you let us buy this building? He says, yeah, you can have a twig. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. Stewardship. We don't own anything. Matthew 25:14. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. God has blessed all of you with a different amount of talents, resources, abilities, opportunities, based on the ability he has given you. So don't trip when someone else has more of something and they appear to have more ability than you. God is the one who set the amount. It's up to him. There's going to be people cuter than you and not cuter than you based on man's level of cuteness. Man looks at the outward, God looks at the heart. So don't trip on man's determination and scale, God's scale. But in this world, there's going to be people smarter than you and not as smart as you. There's going to be people that can run faster than you and not run as fast as you. There's going to be people who have better bodies than you based on the man's estimation and not as good. You're never going to be the best ever, 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 ever. And you're never going to be the worst, ever, 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 ever. Because in order for you to be the best, you would have to know everybody in the world. So stop tripping. Just know God gave me this, and I want to be content with this. Honor, we must use God's resources God's way. Matthew 25:16-17, he who had received the 5 talents went and traded, got 5 more. That's 100% return. Likewise, he would have received the two, gained two more, 100% return. God wants fruit. God is going to look at you one day. We're going to see here in a minute, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? I got you through that trial. What did you do with that lesson? I gave you intelligence to do math. I gave you intelligence to talk. I gave you intelligence to listen and counsel and wise counsel. What did you do with it? I gave you the ability to make money. What did you do with it? That's what he's going to ask us. Accountability. God evaluates how he uses resources. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts. Faithfulness. God focuses on the little things. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over the few things. If you want to be a good steward, be faithful over the little things. How many of y'all haven't been to the gym in a long time? Well, let me say this. How many of y'all need to work out? How about that? Okay, very good, very good. Let me tell you, do the little thing. My grandfather, he would die at 81. Ripped. And he would do this. It was like black man's Tai Chi. He was like, do something. I was on vacation in Hawaii, and I was in the gym, and this big dude, 300 pounds, comes walking in the gym, and he looked like a football player, and he just tested the weights, like all on one weight, just. And I'm looking at this brother going, what is he doing? He was seeing if the weights worked, I assume. And then he left. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go talk to that brother. I know where he's going, to the buffet. So I went to breakfast. Sure as I'm standing here, I met him at the buffet. I said, bro, what was going on this morning? He said, hey, what's up? I said, what do you do? He said, I play in the NFL. I said, oh, so did I. Well, guess what? He got saved that day and started going to a conference that I see him 6 years later, and now he's married a guy. He got married that day, has kids now. Amen. But here's the thing. If all you got to do is just go see if the machines work, that's day one. Be faithful in the little things. Make a budget. Be faithful in the little things. Blessing. Faithfulness leads to greater entrustment. Matthew 25, 21. I will make you ruler over many things if you are faithful over little. And lastly, joy. The greatest reward is God's approval. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You will enter into the joy of the Lord when you've been faithful in little. God is not going to compare you to anyone except you. This is what I assign you to do. And people are always going to try to get you to do what they want you to do. But you are not here to serve them. You're here to serve him. And so we're going to pray that you would say, Lord, I just want to be a better steward of my money, my opportunities, my relationships, my experience, my church. Is this your church? Then take advantage of what we're doing here. When we have worship, take advantage and worship. Use all what you have to worship our God. That's stewardship. Don't waste it by standing there not singing and mute. That's what the devil wants you to do. He doesn't want you to declare the glories of God. He runs from that. And so we want to worship. So I want you to close your eyes, bow your head, and before we worship again, which we're going to do in a minute, I want to pray for you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Father, palms up. Put your palms on your lap and face your palms to the ceiling like you were getting ready to receive something. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room. You've given them so many experiences, resources, ideas, relationships, education, contacts, opportunities. They have more blessings and resources than they could ever ask or imagine. If they sat down and wrote them down, they would be amazed at the list of resources that you have given them to steward. Even being here in our church together is a resource. And I pray that they would surrender all their resources to you and surrender their decision-making process and ability to you. Solomon, who managed the kingdom of Israel, said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm too young. And the Lord said, whatever you want, I'll give you. And he said, give me wisdom. And God said, because you ask wisdom, I will give you riches. Lord, give us wisdom that we may manage and steward the resources you have given us. Please, everybody, eyes closed, heads bowed, pray this out loud. Say, Father God, everything I have comes from you. I choose stewardship over entitlement. I choose trust over fear. Align my heart with your kingdom priorities. Teach me to be faithful with what you have entrusted to me. Remove selfishness, waste, and control. Replace them with obedience, wisdom, generosity. If you can trust me with more, I will glorify you with it. My life, my resources, my future belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, church. So if you prayed that prayer, and you're saying, Lord, I want to be a good steward. I want to be content with what you've given me. I want to steward my time, my resources, my relationships, my opportunities, my experiences to glorify you and build your kingdom. It's all about you. If you prayed that prayer and you say, yes, that's me. I want to walk out of here better steward than I did when I walked in here. I just want you to stand up and give glory to God by standing up. Stand up and give glory to God. Come on, church. 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 Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song, and we got a couple more things to do. We're going to sing a song, but here's how you steward the next few minutes. You're in the presence of God, and we're going to worship God, and you can steward this opportunity by taking advantage of it and stepping into the presence of God to engage the presence of God. Amen? Or you can sit back and say, I can't wait for this to be over. Okay? You're not going to get this at work. You're not going to get this at Petco. You're not going to get this at the mall. Even though when y'all buy something, you may be tripping out like it's a great euphoric experience. You're going to get it here in the house of God. So let's worship God with freedom. You've been set free. Let's worship God. Lift your hands up. Come on, church. Lift your hands up. Come on, church. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one.